you know, maybe I haven't used the correct terminology, and if I have offended anybody, I apologize, but, you know, I've done this now for me to be able to teach this to you, because it is such a hard time. Nobody wanted to teach it. Do you understand why nobody wanted to teach it? Right. And so when I was trying to come up with this lecture, I said, okay, for me, for my sake, how can I do this to help me be able to teach you? And, you know, I try to teach you the same way that I teach myself. And so that's why it's broken down the way that it has been. So as we go through these slides that you have, these cases, these are for you to keep and put notes on them as you go through these. This is important stuff. You're going to see these patients in your clinical as well as in your nursing practice. Okay? So let's look at the case study where the patient has dehydration. This patient has a history of nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. They're vomiting, diarrhea, have flu-like symptoms, got a rapid pulse, orthostatic hypotension. So, wow. We know when they have orthostatic hypertension, what's taking place. When they go to stand up, their blood pressure does. Their urine output is 20. And every day this week, on Tuesday and Thursday, you answer 30 emails. Because as a CNA, you were taught, if they're not putting out at least 30 emails per hour, that's a red flag. So look at this person. They're 20. We don't have a weight, so we cannot calculate it, can we? But we know 20 mL is not really good when we look at all of these other symptoms that this patient has. They have horse tinter. Horse tinting. Think about a tent. That tent's like this. So if I pitch the skin up and it stays that way, it stays up like a tent. That's what tinting means. You need to know this terminology. It stays up like a tent. So that's telling me, wow. And why don't we do it on the chest or the forehead? Because if you've got an old person and they have lost their elasticity, don't be surprised if it stays up. Thank God I have a percent. So, and you will, especially in the elderly, that elasticity is gone. So your best place would be on the chest here or on the forehead to check for tinting. So it is tinting on this one. And then they have increased respiration. So their body is trying to compensate for all their losses. And it made me feel good the other day when somebody said, I remember some of this stuff when I took the name in physiology. It sure is. When we look at this, blood pressure falls significantly when you stand up quickly on a lot of us. But it's even worse when you have an electrolyte imbalance or fluid volume deficit. That's a red flag. And so when we monitor blood pressure that's dropped, and do you know what orthostatic, what criteria for orthostatic blood pressure is? I know when we just blurt it out, what is orthostatic? You should already know this. If this dropped 20 millimeters of mercury in the systolic blood pressure and at least 10 millimeters of mercury diastolic, that is. So when a doctor tells you to do orthostatic blood pressure and you know what that person's baseline is when you go in there and check it, and then you get them to stand up and you check it again, that tells you millimeters of mercury or 10 diastolic. And somebody asked me prior to this lecture, isn't there three or four types of dehydration? I said, it sure is. We have hypotonic, hypertonic, and isotonic. And so, we're hopefully we will touch on all of this today. Let's answer the first question. Which type of dehydration does this patient have when you look at and tell me, raise your hands, because I don't want everybody blurting this out. So, knowing that they have lost volume, what do you think is the, yes, sir?
I think it's the eye.
It's isotonic. You're absolutely right. They have isotonic dehydration. Very good. And it's the most common type of fluid volume deficit. And it's caused by loss of plasma. Or what am I talking about when I talk about plasma? In the blood, absolutely. In this case, the patient has lost volume by excessive vomiting and diarrhea. It hasn't moved into the other, yet it hasn't. And how do I know that? Let's look at number two. In evaluating the patient's laboratory values, indicate whether the following values are likely to be normal, elevated, or decreased. So I would hope that every one of you, when you went through elimination, that you know some of the things that are listed here, especially someone's urine-specific gravity. Do you know what the normal is? And if you don't, I would hope that you would look that up. If somebody has urine-specific gravity that's low, trying to get all the little ducks in a row here. So I'm sure that I'm teaching you everything that you need to be taught. Does anybody know what specific gravity is going to be? When you covered the elimination, you should have known that. That should have been something that you were tested on or discussed. Let me just say that. When I'm thinking your specific gravity, and I'm going to say if it's less than 1.010, I'm looking at isotonic dehydration. They probably have decreased urine. Everything that we've done yesterday and Tuesday, what did we say if we don't put it in and it's going out? It's already gone out. We've got to increase your output. So after they've done all this diarrhea and vomiting, I know that they're not peeing or urinating. There's going to be a decrease in it. What do you think about sodium if they have isotonic? Is their sodium normal or high or low? When you're telling me that they have isotonic dehydration, what is that? Sodium is normal. All of their electrolytes pretty much are normal. Did somebody say increase? It's increase. Tell me why though. If you don't know why, then you don't understand the concept. Remember that picture that I drew on the bulletin board for the dots were in it? And I'm giving 0.5 normal saline. That's isotonic fluid. So I put all of these 20 dots in both of them. And it was representing the hemoglobin, the blood in the body. So you're not peeing out blood, you're not vomiting blood, hopefully, and you're not having diarrhea with the blood in. Your blood volume is still there, but it makes it look like it's more concentrated, doesn't it? Because my isotonic dehydration has only gotten rid of my volume. And all it really is putting that volume back in. So it's going to make it appear that it's increased. And as soon as I give them that isotonic solution, what's going to happen? It's going to look like it's normal again, right? Very good. And when we look at the bun or the blood urea nitrogen, it can go either way. It could be normal or increased. Just look at how far that they've gone. But it could go either way. Your serum osmolarity is normal. Again, we're going back to I've given them an isotonic. All my electrolytes are normal, aren't they? Okay? Does that make sense to anybody? Does it not make sense? Okay, tell me what's your concern.
I have a question. When you have a lecture, like on the lecture,
okay.
On your lecture, it says the isotonic dehydration is called electrolytes.
No. It can go that far. However, it's important. That's why I'm saying. Whenever I was looking at it and I said it can go either way with the osmolarity, it's according to how far they've gone. How many days have they been sick? If they have been sick several days, they're going to start losing those electrolytes. But if they've only been sick a couple of days, it's usually just the isotonic. Okay? And I apologize for misleading you. And you know what? We're not even going to know what to give them until we get what back. What am I going to draw on? Labs. So I can see what their fluid and electrolytes are going to be. That's going to give you, oh, wow. I know that they don't have enough electrolyte imbalance, but if they've been sick 2 or 3 days, that's fine. They're holding their own. But if they've been throwing up diarrhea for several days, you're going to have to give them something. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Right. Thank you. Thank y'all for asking. Every day that I've said it in the classroom, why do I get an isotonic fluid? It's a volume expander, isn't it? That was the purpose in that. And there is a fine line, y'all, that is when you see your patients, you'll know what's going on with them. That's the reason why you need to be able to pull those signs and symptoms out. And when you see that patient that we talked about Tuesday and Thursday that had that dry, parched mouth, what was going on with that person? What were they hyper what? They that training. Yes. But there's, now you're trying to get me talked into a corner, and it's not always that simple. Because it, I know what you're saying. I got you. I wrote it down, so I would not forget. But I do want you to know, on one of these, when we talk about the D5, normal saline, D5 abnormal saline, that is a what type of fluid? It's hypertonic, yeah. But when it gets in the body, what does it do? We will go there in another conversation. Let me go ahead and do this. I'm going to read to you what I've got here. Isotonic dehydration is saying the same amount of water and sodium is lost from the body. Electrolyte concentrates remain near normal. Near normal. My electrolyte. I don't have to replace them. I'm giving them isotonic to fill the body. And if that doesn't work, we're going to go to our next one. Okay? Hypotonic dehydration occurs when the lost fluid contains more sodium. Relatively more sodium than water loss. And then this is going to cover the loss of GI fluids, diarrhea, vomiting, fistulas, intestinal obstructions, large wounds, burns, and then postoperative fluid loss. Remember, I even said to you, and your book goes over it, that on what days do we see that loss? And then we're going to give them what fluid? 0.45, because we've got a shift that's taking place in that body. But that's the reason why I say if you're trying to hold my feet to the fire, but those are, it's a learning curve that when you look at it, you're going, what? And it can be due to long-term diuretics. You'll get that patient that comes in there that's been taking their fluid pills and they just keep taking them and they keep being everything out. Right? So that's where the hypotonic dehydration comes in. The hypertonic is the loss is primarily of water. As if, you know, frequent diabetes insipidus. That's what you're going to cover in our next semester. And the remaining minerals become concentrated. But I felt like if we have the cases or the case studies, it can help you understand. And if you have done your virtual clinical, it should help you some. I heard some folks talking about it and said, oh, it was so easy. I said, you know why it was easy? Because you've been working on these sheets. Exactly. Because it is going to be repetition. And you cannot put everybody in a cookie cutter. It's just like, okay, what am I doing? Is it the same? No, it's not the same. You have to evaluate. That's the reason why those questions I asked you on Tuesday and Thursday. You know, be mindful of those distractors in those sentences. And you kept your sheet. And some of you picked something else when it was truly asking for your serum electrolytes. What? Because just because you give somebody IV fluids does not mean that I'm assessing their IV side and asking something else. Please go back and look at those questions. And I will continue on Tuesday and Thursday to go over more questions, even though we've got a virtual clinical to do. I'm going to give you then you're going to be sick of me. I want you to be sick of me because I want you to learn how to do this. It is a skill. It is only a skill that nurses know how to do. And when you get good at it, you're going to go, wow. You're going to take what Ms. Tuttle said, the ABCs, right? But a lot of this is just pure knowledge. You're regurgitating it out. I know what it is. I know that an isotonic, that my electrolytes have remained normal. Right? But I've lost water and sodium, but pretty much my electrolytes have stayed normal. And that isotonic is a volume what? Filling up that volume that I've lost it. And if you give it that little bit of fluid, I'm going to feel like, oh, I got this. Okay? But if I am hypotonic, I've lost fluids that contain more sodium. And so I'm going to be hyponatremic. Probably so. That's when I'm going to beat you with a shoe. I should put that in one question, shouldn't I? Instead of asking, is it neurological? But if you're going to see those neurological deficits in high and low, aren't you? Those that I would love seeing y'all sheets this morning. It has made my heart. And then again, as I said, long-term diuretics, the use of them, that post-operative patient, you got to know your fluids. Know those. What am I giving those fluids for? Okay? And then my hypertonic. This is something I've only done one time in my nursing career that I've given a hypertonic solution. Because you got to watch these things. And again, as I said, they've lost primarily, if the water is lost, you're seeing a bunch of these people are just peeing out everything they put in. And that, again, is another story with that diabetes insipidus. Just look at that person, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And do that little, when we get into there next semester, you will say, wow, now I understand why she said that. But don't leave out the bunny reacting letters. Because we've got to make sure that that person is doing what? Don't you give them any electrolyte unless you especially have magnesium and potassium. I have a patient die on me with a lot of magnesium. So if they're not peeing, what's the problem? Why am I worried about that? Anybody want to raise your hand and take a stab at it? And number three, it gives you which system is involved with the rapid pulse. Because it's saying this person's in trouble. It is the sympathetic. But, I mean, I get where you're going with that, but it's the, and when we look at the question, immediate intervention to correct the patient's fluid volume imbalance. We could do rapid hydration with D5W to give them some energy, right? I'll be honest with you, I don't like any of the responses that they put. The only best response here is A. But I don't have any electrolyte imbalances, do I? So that's why they're giving them the D5W. I don't have any electrolyte imbalances. None. Why am I giving them D5? Have you ever had vomiting and diarrhea? And you thought, if I could just hold something on, give me some energy, that's what it's going to do. It's going to give them energy. That D5 is that glucose that's going to give it to them. But on this, I don't really like any of the questions. You're not going to see these questions anyway. But I'm trying to help you understand, what should you be thinking? Number 5, what is the most important thing to monitor to determine the patient's response to corrective interventions? What am I going to monitor? Look at it again. What's the most important thing to monitor to determine the patient's corrective intervention? Yes, ma'am. Look at that top question. Look at the top. What's their urine output? So if we know what we've done has worked, we want them to start peeing, don't we? And we want it more than 10. So we're going to monitor that urinary output. Because if they don't, we're going to have somebody that's going to be in acute renal failure, which can lead into chronic renal failure. And these poor folks are going to end up in dialysis if we don't treat them and take care of them. So they're going to be in trouble. So we definitely want to see that you're... Now, I'm not saying waste is not a good thing. But go back at that top and look at that question. It says urine output is 20. And then when I look at this, how do I know that it's being corrected? And see, that's where y'all got to learn how to pick these questions and the responses in it. What's it screaming at? Did I correct it? How do I know that I corrected it? Because they're peeing again, and they're doing more than 30 mLs an hour. Okay? Any concerns with that? Are we good? Thank you for responding. All right? And number 6, what indicates that the patient is having a negative response to fluid resuscitation? What is, yes, ma'am? Yes, it is. That is a negative response. Because apparently, when we've given them rapid infusion of D5 water, if we do it too quick and we don't monitor them, that is a negative effect. And we, even though in our best interest that we're trying to fix them, we can mess them up just as quick in the other direction. So we hurt them, not intentionally. But we can fix that thing. We can slow it down or stop that IV fluid. Say, hey, their blood pressure's up to normal baseline, what they say that it's supposed to be. They're voiding at least 30 mLs per hour. But here I've got some crackles in their lungs, and you tell the doctor what assessment skills that you're seeing, and they're going to tell you, hey, okay, we those IV fluids. And let's start trying to give them some clear liquids, some broth, some, let's get them something in. And let's see if they can not squirt everything back out at either end. And I even put on my notes here, I said, when they said rapid hydration of D5W, I said, isotonic is best. But the glucose is going to give them that energy that they need. When we think about the elderly patient, that they becomes confused, think about that individual, what's going to happen to them. We do get those individuals that are going to get confused on us. I'm trying to make sure you get all of the bang for the buck, y'all. Yes? I can. Remember our babies and our elderly? Why do I need to be concerned about them, especially if they're dehydrated? We're going to see confusion, especially in the elderly. When they have dehydration, and many times we think that they have dementia and they don't. So we want to be mindful of that and make sure we ask the family members, do they have dementia? And instead of assuming that they do have dementia and they really don't, because you're going to see that in the elderly patient. But that's not a good finding, is it? We know there's a problem if they're confused. And we always want to assess for that. And as I told you this week, that baby that's 3 months old has been having nausea, vomiting, diarrhea for several days, and his mom calls you. And, you know, your best bet, don't give a baby a light, because I'm sure she's tried that. And what are you going to give a baby that's been breastfeeding anyway? They're going to look at that baby like, you lost your mind. Because they don't want that. That's nasty. Exactly. You know, we're going to, hopefully that she knows that she needs to take that baby in. Because that baby's body is for more exact. It's mostly water. So, and we're going to try to get them hydrated. Y'all just bear with me. I'm looking. If I have a elderly patient that's confused, what is my concern with them in the hospital? They're confused. What? Oh, absolutely. You're going to put them on false precaution, aren't you? Because that is a need. If they're confused, they're not going to be their normal self. Balance. If they're confused because of electrolytes and they're probably orthostatic, and that also puts them at risk for falls. Very good. Any other questions before we move on? I've got to keep you straight, but I got to look at the time. 11:13. So, are we okay if I'm just trying to look at questions that may help you. But going back to the and I've got a question. Just listen to me. You tell me what type of dehydration this patient is in. The nurse is planning care for a patient admitted to the unit with dehydration. The patient's lab values indicate a low level of serum sodium. Based on the assessment finding, the nurse determines an appropriate nursing diagnosis to be electrolyte imbalance. Which of the following conditions is known to result in fluid loss that is characterized by a proportionate greater loss of sodium than water. Is it isotonic, hypotonic? Which one is it? It's hypotonic. Very good. So you understand these. You've got it. See, all the questions you have, you have to pay, but it's up there all day. Y'all want a break right now?
Okay.
Break right now.
just have to type it and upload that.
Fluid imbalance. I'm going to try to go through it. or does it have more water in it than anything else? So, and sometimes people do those two things confused if it's a lower number or a higher number. So just listen to me, and I'm going to use this text. It says, a patient is 45 years old who has been observed in 4 days. Nasal passage 2, IV fluid, D5 fast normal saline, running at 100 mL per hour. The nurse's physical assessment includes the following. The patient is alert and oriented. He has fine crackles. His capillary refills within normal limits, and I hate that word normal limits. I would like you to put it if it's greater than 3 seconds or less than 3 seconds. That's what I consider. Novel pain, muscle pain, cotton mouth, driving coffee membrane, foul sound, high toe action. And if you don't know what hypoaction is or absent, foul sound, you have to listen to every quadrant for at least 5 minutes before you say that they have no foul sound whatsoever. So hypo means I've heard it somewhere, but you need to be specific. The last found in it was 4 days ago. Skin turgor is poor. 200 mL of dark green substance has drained from the NG tube in the last 3 hours. Output is 2,000, including urine and nasogastric drainage. He is febrile. He's diaphoretic. His blood pressure is 130 over 80 millimeters of mercury. Pulse is 88. Urine specific gravity is 1.035. So is that elevated or decreased? Just ask that to yourself. Serum potassium is 3. So when we're analyzing this patient,